Hey friends, welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon, and today we're diving into one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. You've probably heard it before, maybe even wrestled with it yourself. We're talking about divorce, remarriage, and what Jesus really meant in Matthew chapter 5. My prayer is that this episode lifts the weight of shame and helps you see God's heart more clearly. Not long ago, I opened my phone and saw a comment that read, "According to Matthew, you're living in a perpetual state of adultery." I'll be honest, I've heard that before, but this time it hit a little bit differently. Not because it hurt my feelings, but because I thought about the people reading those words who might already be carrying unbearable shame. People who've repented, people who love Jesus, people who are wondering if they've been disqualified forever. And I thought, we have to talk about this verse, because when scripture is pulled out of context, it can be used as a weapon instead of a source of truth and freedom. So today, we're going to talk about what Jesus really meant when he said, "Anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery." We're going to look at the culture, the context, and the most importantly, the heart of God. And I believe by the end of this episode, some of you will breathe a sigh of relief that you've been holding for many years. Matthew 5, 31 through 32. "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Let's set the scene. Jesus is speaking during the Sermon on the Mount, his longest recorded teaching. His audience, ordinary people, and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees loved trying to trap Jesus with questions about the law. In that time, many men in Jewish culture had adopted a loose interpretation of Deuteronomy 24:1. Divorcing their wives for almost any reason, burning dinner, saying something they didn't like, growing older while a younger, prettier woman came along. It was unjust, and it left women in financial, social, and spiritual ruin. And it completely distorted God's heart for marriage. So when Jesus spoke these words, he was confronting a heart problem. He was saying marriage is not disposable, and it's not just a piece of paper. It's a covenant, a holy agreement between husband, wife, and God. We see this all throughout Scripture. God sees marriage as a reflection of his covenant with his people. In Ephesians, Paul compares it to Christ and the church. And yes, God hates divorce, not because he hates the people involved, but because it shatters what was meant to be a living picture of his love. Now, here's something important. Look at what Jesus had just been teaching earlier in Matthew 5. "Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart." The Pharisees believed outward obedience to the law made them righteous, but Jesus raised the bar to the matters of the heart. He said, "Hate is the heart root of murder. Lust is the heart root of adultery." He was showing us something radical. You and I can't keep the law perfectly. It's impossible. Not in our actions, not in our thoughts, which means we can't make ourselves righteous. We can't make ourselves righteous by trying harder or doing more. We need Jesus. We need his grace. This is where Bible interpretation matters. When we read scripture, we have to look at one, the original audience. Who is hearing this first? Number two, the cultural context, what was happening at the time. And three, the whole counsel of Scripture. How does this verse align with the rest of the Bible? If we just grab one verse and build an entire theology on it, we risk completely missing God's heart. For example, in Luke 14:26, Jesus says, "We must hate our father and mother." Does he really mean hate? Of course not. Because in Exodus, he tells us to honor our father and mother. He's using strong language to show that our devotion to him must be so great that every other relationship looks secondary by comparison. The same is true here in Matthew 5. Jesus isn't creating a hopeless life sentence for those who've divorced for reasons outside of sexual immorality. He's elevating marriage and confronting casual, selfish divorce in his time. Let's answer the big question. Is adultery the unpardonable sin? Is it unforgivable? The Bible is clear. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, persistent, willful rejection of Christ and his gift, free gift of salvation. Adultery like pride, lying, gossip, murder, they're all serious, but it's forgivable through repentance and the blood of Jesus. If we claim this verse means someone is in perpetual state of adultery forever after remarriage, we're essentially saying there's no forgiveness for them. And that's not what scripture teaches. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's look at David, called a man after God's own heart. He didn't just commit adultery with Bathsheba. He orchestrated her husband's death to cover up the pregnancy. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. A transgression means you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway. That's David, and that was me. And yet after genuine repentance, God forgave him. Yes, there were consequences. Their first child died, but later God gave them Solomon, the one who would build the temple of the Lord. This is what grace looks like, not ignoring sin, but fully forgiving the repentant sinner and still using their life for his glory. So what does this mean for you? If you've divorced and remarried for other reasons than sexual immorality, and you've repented before God, you are not living in a perpetual state of unforgiveness. The blood of Jesus covers you. But grace doesn't erase the seriousness of sin. It gives us the power to live differently going forward. Honor your marriage now. Protect it. Let it be a living picture of Christ's covenant love. And for those still carrying the weight of this verse like a chain, hear this. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love this. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Walk in that freedom. Don't let the enemy use shame to keep you from your calling. Don't take one verse and twist it like a life sentence God never intended. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his truth, because there's only one correct interpretation of the Bible, and that's his. Thank you so much for listening today on Out of Focus. I hope this message blessed you and encouraged you and showed you truth in the Bible that you may not have even seen before. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We will see you next time.